We're right at the bottom of the hour, back on the Mike Allen Show. This is the theme from SWAT. 40 years ago today, it was number one. I'm telling you right now, there was nothing like the 70s and 80s for TV theme songs. Much better than you've got today. Much more singable. Well, that's not singable, but, you know, much more memorable. Well, that may be a good future question of the day. I'm back with Chelsea Zimmerman. Chelsea, I know you were not even a glimmer in your daddy's eye when SWAT was, the theme from SWAT was climbing the charts, but I'll try to overlook that. A lot of wisdom in your youthful years, that's for sure. As somebody who has dealt with a spinal cord injury, you know, back from your accident that you had in high school, and with a profound awareness and experience and understanding of what it is to be a disabled person. I mean, I guess we're all disabled in our own ways, but in particular, how oftentimes we perceive those with disabilities and how those with disabilities experience and perceive how they are perceived. You sent me this story about perhaps a well-intentioned young woman in West Virginia who was going to help, and I'm making air quotes there, a disabled man. And it's a story that's gotten a lot of social media traction, as one writer called it, inspiration porn. So let's talk about it a little bit. Tell what happened.
Well, I missed it. I missed the social media hype of it. It was sometime last year. But it was this woman who, a 21-year-old woman, who saw this man in a wheelchair. He was kind of passing by her as she was trying to leave the parking lot of Walmart. And she, according to her, he was struggling. He was moving slow. I think he was missing a leg. He was obviously a veteran, according to her. And so she got out of her car and asked if she could help him. And she said quite grumpily, told me that he was fine. And then she basically said, she said, being the stubborn person that she was, she basically didn't take no for an answer and proceeded to push him inside, and then continue helping him with his shopping. And, you know, despite numerous times, even according to her, that he told her he was fine and he didn't need her help, and she continued to, you know, she got more stuff than what was on his list, and she paid for it, and then he apparently doesn't have a car, so she got him a cab afterwards, and it was, you know, just this whole long story about, you know, how she bonded with this. Apparently they, you know, she was sharing with him, and how she was pretty sure he was in a much better mood once she left him than when she when she first met him. He was I hope for her sake, you know, maybe there were some other circumstances in this guy's life that, you know, her pushiness in making him help her, you know, really did help him. And you know, she claimed there, she saw tears in his eyes, as I put on, when I talked about it on Facebook, I said, I really hope for her sake those were tears of gratitude and not humility, or humiliation, because, you know, I'm looking at this story, and she was just like universally praised for, which is a wonderful thing she did, helping this guy, this poor disabled man. And I'm looking at it from my point of view as a disabled person myself, who, I mean, I can't even tell you. One day I'd like to count how many times when I'm out I have to say, no, thank you, I'm fine. For the people that do ask, you know, I often get asked for help, and I appreciate it. If somebody then kind of took over, even though I said, no, I'm fine, just how I would feel about that. I would feel a little humiliated, you know? Maybe there were some other circumstances in this guy's life. Obviously, he was also a very poor person. He didn't have a car, and maybe she really did help him out, but, I mean, from my perspective, you know, he continually tells her no, and she continues to take over. And, you know, this poor, and, you know, she's like, oh, how many people would just see this man struggling and would just, you know, let him and just not help him? And it's like, well, I mean, if he, you know, there's a difference between a sick person who needs our help and needs to be cared for, and then those of us who are living with disabilities who, you know, maybe things look a little harder for us, or, and maybe they even are harder for us sometimes, but this is, you know, we're living with this disability and this is our life. And, you know, in many ways, and I've said this before, you know, a disability takes so much away from us that, you know, if there are things that we can still do, even though they're a little bit harder, maybe take a little bit more effort, you know, we like to still do them ourselves.
Sure. And so what you're saying is, I mean, it's like, for example, we're here with Chelsea Zimmerman, who blogs at reflectionsofaparalytic.com and the editor-in-chief at catholiclane.com, that when we encounter someone who has a disability of whatever type, there's nothing wrong with asking if they need help. But just like we say with the, you know, in terms of sexual consent, for example. Mm-hmm. We're big on no means no.
No means no, yeah.
We need to, because there's almost a reduction of the person in a condescending sort of way, as though their consent has even been disabled. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And, so that's where you cross over from well-intentioned offers to help to, in a sense, almost dehumanizing the person.
Dehumanized, or just basically being disrespectful. You know, it's like, ask me for help, and that's fine, but trust me when I tell you I can do it myself. And if I can't do it myself, you know, especially people, if we've had a disability for long enough, you know, we're kind of trained, especially if we've had a, you know, we've been in, it's a trauma that we've been in a therapy for. You know, we don't hesitate to ask if we need help. You know, I will frequently, if I need something off the top shelf, I'll stop somebody in the store and ask them to get it down for me. If I can't, for whatever, actually, there was one time I was out for a walk, you know, all of a sudden I got very low blood sugar, and my blood pressure was dropping, and I was having a hard time. And I knew there was no way I was going to make it back to my car. I was so far away down the road. I actually stopped somebody and asked them to push me back to my car. Now, under normal circumstances, I would not have anybody push me anywhere, but I couldn't make it and I needed help. And so I asked somebody to push me. And, but, you know, normally, if I can do it myself, I prefer to do it myself. Unless it's, you know, somebody's right in front of me, is going to open the door, you know, as a courtesy as you would do for anyone. But yeah, it's, and that's kind of, that's sometimes the more difficult thing about a disability. You know, people think the hard thing about having a disability is coming to terms with all the things you can't do. But, you know, a lot of times it's more, you know, dealing with the perception that you're a lot more helpless than you really are.
I know one of the things you mentioned, too, in our Facebook conversation in preparation for the show is that Hollywood oftentimes shapes the way that persons who are not disabled view those with a disability.
Yeah, and they do a really bad job of it. I think that the most recent example, which I sent you, is this movie, which I actually was looking forward to just by watching the trailer. It's called Me Before You, and it's this, and it's about this woman who becomes a caregiver for this disabled man. I think he's paralyzed. He's a quadriplegic, and the trailer looks like this love story between them, and how, you know, great it is that they you know, he's brought a lot out of her, and she's brought out of him, and you know, they kind of help each other. And then I read this. Now, this is a spoiler alert for anybody, but it was a spoiler alert I welcomed, is that by the, apparently this was also a novel first, and at the end, he goes and flown or taken to Switzerland for an assisted suicide. Because, you know, despite the happiness, I guess, this woman brought him, it wasn't happy enough. Or, you know, and it just perpetuates that kind of, that idea that life with a disability is just not worth living. And, or that it's just, you know, you are helpless. You can't do things for yourself. And, you know, you're, in many cases, you are better off dead, or at least you feel like you are. And so it's, yeah, Hollywood has not been doing, this isn't the first time either. You know, Million Dollar Baby was the same
way. That movie just killed me. I loved it. Mm-hmm. That's a movie where I loved 98% of it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, don't end like that.
Well, apparently this movie is kind of the same way. I read some people said the novel was great. And then up until the end, it was like, it was a really great story. And then they just ruined it with the end.
Well, Chelsea, we always appreciate having you on. And you really give a very helpful perspective, both in your blog and, the reflections of aparalytic.com, as well as the other work that you do on bioethical issues. And I guess they're all connected, because it's about what is human dignity, what is human life that is worth living. So we're about out of time, Chelsea. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Mike.
All right, blessings to you, and have a great rest of your Lent. We'll talk again soon, hopefully maybe late in Lent.
All right.
We'll be back in a minute. This is the Mike Allen Show.